sections by the magazine's staff and calls for writers and artists to boycott the publication. Recently, New York Times Magazine writer Jasmine Hieu resigned after allegedly violating newsroom policy by signing an open letter that accused Israel of genocide. The Palestinian Youth Movement, PYM, a transnational independent grassroots movement of young Palestinians in Palestine and in exile worldwide, has called on media workers' unions to demand an end to biased pro-Israel coverage of the conflict and to targeting of pro-Palestine journalists. The group said on social media, "Shut it down. Western media is not only implicated in the genocide unfolding in Gaza through its double standards against Palestinians, but through its deep institutional complicity and collusion with governments that are funding and committing this genocide." According to Press TV, in yet another example of censorship, the Eye on Palestine page on Instagram, with more than 6 million followers, was taken down for sharing and amplifying content in support of the people of Palestine. Social media users expressed shock and anger over the decision taken by Meta, Instagram's parent company, accusing the company of censoring content critical of the Zionist regime. It comes as Israeli regime warplanes continue to pound the densely populated civilian areas of the besieged coastal territory, including hospitals and places of worship, with most casualties including children. The removal of the Eye on Palestine page comes after the widely followed Instagram page of Palestinian photojournalist Mu'taz Aziza was restricted by Mark Zuckerberg-led company. Aziza had been sharing the harsh on-ground reality of the Zionist regime's carpet bombing of the Gaza Strip since October 7th, when the campaign began following Al-Aqsa Storm Operation. The Palestinian resistance operation was in response to relentless atrocities against Palestinians in both Gaza and the occupied West Bank, as well as the recurrent desecration of Al-Aqsa Mosque. Aziza, who had nearly 8 million followers on Instagram, was updating his followers on the horrific aggression the Zionist regime in Tel Aviv unleashed on the besieged territory. On October 12th, he posted a video of the aftermath of an Israeli regime bombardment that killed at least 15 of his family members, most of them women and children. Meta, which owns Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, restricted his account in response. Following users' backlash, Instagram reinstated Aziza's account a day later. His ex account, however, is still suspended for exposing the Israeli regime's ghastly war crimes against civilians in Gaza Strip, rather than violating the platform's so-called community guidelines. Recently, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Azmat Khan also announced in a post on X that her Instagram account had been shadow banned after sharing a story about the Gaza war. She wrote, "After posting an Instagram story about the war in Gaza, my account was shadow banned. Many colleagues and journalist friends have reported the same. It's an extraordinary threat to the flow of information and credible journalism about an unprecedented war." Aziza and Khan are not the only ones to earn their wrath for exposing the regime's genocidal campaign through their social media pages. Hundreds of other users have similar experiences to share. Social media users, including journalists, activists, influencers, and even regular users across the world, complain that pro-Palestine content is being purposefully censored or demoted. Popular social media platforms such as X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok have introduced harsher content moderation rules that are acutely biased against pro-Palestine voices. The phenomenon of shadow ban has been in full swing for the past 3 weeks. Counts of views and likes on posts supporting Palestinians have significantly declined. Some users have been reported that they cannot broadcast live videos and posts containing hashtags like Free Palestine and I Stand With Palestine are also hidden or taken down on false pretext of violating the company's content rules. A 32-year-old Iranian teacher who requested anonymity told Press TV website that her Instagram stories in support of Palestine are receiving significantly smaller number of views. Her Instagram account with almost 900 followers is now unsearchable, and she said, according to her followers, her posts are no longer appearing on their Instagram feed. She said, "I did not post any hate speech or graphic images. My posts and stories only contain developments on the situation in Gaza, and I criticize the dehumanization of Palestinians." Another user, a 46-year-old Tehran-based university professor, who also asked to remain anonymous, told the Press TV website that his Instagram account had been deactivated without warning, saying, "I was locked out of my account and Instagram asked me to add a phone number for security. Then it said it would review my information for 24 hours. However, my account remained inaccessible." He explained that Instagram stated that his account had been disabled for violating community guidelines without any evidence. He said, "I believe that is because of my outspoken support for Palestine."
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson: humility and its benefits. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Humility is the ability to view yourself accurately as an individual with talents as well as flaws, while being void of arrogance and low self-esteem. In today's society, humility is not always acknowledged as a relevant trait to possess, but it is in fact a remarkable character strength. Humility isn't always seen as a strength, but sometimes thought of as a weakness. You know, there are some people who would imagine that if you're humble, this means you're weak. You know, they somehow equate the two. Some believe that humility is having low opinions of yourself, low self-esteem, and a lack of confidence. It is, in fact, the opposite. Humility is having the self-esteem to understand that even though you are doing well, you do not have to brag or gloat about it, right? You don't have to show off. You don't have to be all, overconfident and haughty and in-your-face type of a person, right? It is important to stay humble, because having humility not only helps you develop a more kind approach to interacting with others, but it also influences how you perceive others and the world around you. You start to value things around you. You start to value people if you're humble. But, you know, on the contrary, if you are arrogant, you continue to see shortcomings in other people, and hence you're all the time agitated and annoyed and angry about others around you. So, you know, being humble, it brings a lot of good to your life. And we're talking about this life in this world. You're more satisfied, you're more content. You always start looking at a glass of water that is half full rather than half empty. So, you know, try to be humble, inshallah. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing humility and its benefits. And specifically, we're trying to discuss the benefits of being humble in this world. We know that in hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward humble people. But what happens with a humble person in this world? And what happens with an arrogant person in this world? Well, the benefits of humility and being humble in the hereafter are many. We know that. Some of the benefits in this world, let's discuss some of them, right? The first one I would like to say is that, you know, being humble and having humility strengthens one's connection with other human beings. Like we said, you know, you start to look at and value people with a different lens. You know, you actually start caring for them, and they in return start caring for you. You know, it's a two-way affectionate relationship that you end up making. Similarly, you know, it broadens your perspective of the self. It broadens your perspective of the world, right? It strengthens your connection between spirituality, religion, and well-being. You know, they all go hand in hand. And if a person is arrogant, you will see disconnects in their lives, right? If their religion is good, you know, their personal spirituality and ethics and morals, it would be low. If, you know, if their well-being is taken care of, their physical well-being, spiritual well-being, they're then probably not good in their religion because they're too arrogant people. And lastly, I would like to bring up, you know, two or three points on how to be more humble. Inshallah, we are all humble in our everyday life. How can we be more humble? Well, the first one is don't equate humility with low self-esteem. It's a trap. Secondly, see yourself in the context of the universe, okay? Don't just see yourself in, you know, as in a standalone, isolated person, okay? Look at the whole wide universe and then look at yourself. And thirdly, take away focus from yourself and acknowledge those who have accomplished more than you. For instance, look at the accomplishments of Shuhada and the scholars of Islam. Right? So this is, you know, a very quick rundown of a few recommendations of how we can be more humble.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. all produced by IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Israeli military has launched a deadly operation against Gaza's largest hospital, the Al-Shifa Hospital. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Israeli regime has begun a military operation against Al-Shifa Hospital in the Gaza Strip, which has come to house thousands of patients and displaced people seeking shelter there from an unrelenting Israeli war. Based on intelligence information and an operational necessity, the Israeli military are carrying out a precise and targeted operation against the hospital, the Israeli military said in a statement on Wednesday, 15th of November. Targeting hospitals and killing civilians is considered a war crime. The Israeli regime has been committing these crimes in the besieged Gaza Strip ever since its attack on Gaza started on 7th of October. The Israeli regime has killed nearly 11,500 Palestinians, including more than 8,000 women and children, in Gaza since 7th of October, when it launched a war of aggression against the territory. The Israeli regime has turned Gaza's hospitals into a specific target of its military campaign, alleging that the facilities serve to house Palestinian fighters and their equipment. The Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's biggest hospital, has taken the brunt of the Israeli assault on healthcare targets across the coastal sliver, with the Israeli regime claiming that it houses a command center belonging to the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas. Also on Wednesday, 15th of November, Osama Hamdan, a senior Hamas official, said the Hamas movement had a vast network of underground tunnels in Gaza and did not need to use hospitals as bases. Osama Hamdan, the senior Hamas official, said the goal sought by the occupiers by attacking the hospitals is to displace the Palestinian nation. Osama Hamdan called the Israeli regime's claims about Gaza hospitals naive and indicative of the mental status of a defeated army. Hamas has asked the United Nations to form an international committee tasked with disproving the Israeli claim. On Tuesday, 14th of November, the World Health Organization, WHO, warned that Al-Shifa Hospital was nearly a cemetery and unable to bury dead bodies, as the facility was also tackling power cuts and a lack of fuel. Also, a senior Hamas official has said the Israeli regime, which has brought the Gaza Strip under an unrelenting war, was after causing another Nakba or catastrophe, referring to the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians by the Israeli regime in 1948. Osama Hamdan, a member of Hamas's political bureau, said on Tuesday, 14th of November, the occupying Israeli regime is planning to perpetrate another Nakba before the eyes of the modern world. The Israeli regime has killed over 11,200 Palestinians, including more than 8,000 women and children in Gaza since 7th of October, when it launched its war of aggression against the territory. Osama Hamdan strongly refuted the Israeli regime's claims that Hamas was using Gaza's hospitals as bases, a claim that the Tel Aviv regime has been using to target the healthcare facilities across the coastal sliver. The Hamas official said the Hamas movement had a vast network of underground tunnels in Gaza and it did not need to use hospitals as its command centers. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has asked the United Nations to form an international committee tasked with disproving the Israeli claim. Osama Hamdan added, the goal sought by the occupiers by attacking the hospitals is to displace the Palestinian nation. Hamdan called the Israeli regime's claims about Gaza's hospitals naive, and indicative of the mental status of a defeated army. CNN cable news network has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Israeli regime said it has launched a targeted military operation against the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas early on Wednesday morning, 15th of November, inside Gaza's largest hospital, Tel Shifa Hospital, where thousands of Palestinian civilians are believed to be sheltering. Conditions inside the hospital, which has run out of fuel and is no longer considered operational, has deteriorated rapidly in recent days amid intense fighting, with doctors warning of a catastrophic situation for patients, for staff and displaced people still inside the hospital. In a statement posted online, the Israeli military said it had begun a precise and targeted operation against Hamas in a specific area of Gaza's largest hospital, the Al-Shifa Hospital. It remains unknown how many Israeli military forces have entered the hospital, but Israeli tanks could be seen inside the hospital complex, according to a CNN journalist reporting from the area. "We can see them pointing the guns of tanks towards the hospital. We are not sure whether soldiers are inside the hospital building, but they are inside the medical complex with the tanks," Khader Al-Zanoun, a reporter working for the Palestinian news agency, the Wafa news agency, told CNN. Khaled Al-Zanoun said, "There were gunfire exchanges across the yard and some of the windows in one of the hospital buildings were shattered." Doctors and journalists at the hospital have described to CNN desperate efforts to keep premature babies alive and limited procedures taking place by candlelight. In a statement on Wednesday, 15th of November, the Israeli military again accused the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas of continuing to use the hospital facility, the Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza, for military purposes. Hamas has categorically rejected the Israeli claims. A doctor inside the Al-Shifa Hospital told CNN they were given just 30 minutes warning before the Israeli military launched their operation against the hospital. "We were asked to stay clear of the windows and the balconies. We can hear the armed vehicles. They're very close to the entrance of the medical complex," Dr. Khaled Abu Samra told CNN. Hundreds of staff and patients are still inside the Al-Shifa Hospital, according to the most recent reports from the area, along with several thousand who have sought shelter from the Israeli regime's ongoing air raid and ground offensive.
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are our true guide.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
We're waiting for you to be by your side.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. I'm Mustafa as your host, and with me is Brother Alavi in the studio. He has a PhD in philosophy and is an Islamic researcher. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you doing?
Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me to your show.
Thank you so much. So, brother, we were discussing our duties during the time of the occultation of the 12th Imam, and what we can do during this time. And we've been discussing many different topics during these episodes. One of the, I think, big questions that came to my mind, you know, through these discussions that I really wanted to ask is, we have this image in our mind, you know, that once the Imam comes, we'll be living in this sort of paradise or utopia, everything will be just. But considering human nature, it just seems too good to be true almost, right? Mm. I mean, my question is, will there be any resistance? Will there be oppression? You know, there must be something going on. Mm. What do we know about that?
Yeah. Look, when we are talking about that utopia that inshallah Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will introduce to the world, about the characteristics of his government and the leadership of an infallible imam, and rulership of this just imam, we are talking about the characteristics of this government, not the people. I mean, look, people, if they are interested, they can increase their knowledge, they can increase their ma'rifa, their science, and they can benefit, I mean, very easily, because everything is already there, I mean, available for them to use. But to see that if, in a sense, there would be any sort of sin to be committed, any sort of oppression to happen, any sort of, let's say, distortion to happen, these are the things that usually happen due to the personal desires of the people.
Right.
And the desires of the people are always there, and they have been in the course of history. Allah is not going to, for example, change my own personal desire and yours as well, for example, to take, okay, from now on everything should be clear, and now from now on you should have to only think positively.
Right.
The people are the people. I mean, but they are going to benefit from a source of blessing. Among the nations that Imam is going to lead in this universe, there would be different kinds of people.
Right.
There might be some, for example, oppressors among the people, but not in the level of the government.
I see.
The government is going to establish justice there.
I see. So what you're saying is that the people will still have the same desires. They may sin as they still do, of course.
Like, or in life they have. For example, they might commit sin, but in case they want to get perfected and find their way towards this voyage of perfection, it's quite available.
The opportunities will be there. There will be justice at a societal level.
Yeah, but if a distortion is going to happen again in Islamic basis and principles, because النَّدِينَ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, the religion in Allah's presence is Islam.
Right.
So if any distortion is going to happen, no, there is a firm, just government that is actually stopping people from going astray, right?
Right, right.
But these oppressions might happen, these distortions might happen. Even, let me give you an example. At the time of global and universal government of Prophet Sulaiman,
yeah,
many people were, after finding some ways to make some magics among the people, just to break the relationship between a husband.
Right. This is from the Quran, right?
Yeah,
this is what Allah mentioned this specifically.
Yeah. To break the relationships of the couples.
Right.
So it happened at the time of Solomon the Prophet, but he could stop them from doing that, and going astray. But because the government is just. I mean, if they refer to government to complain from a person, from an entity, so that everything is available for them to find the justice. Again.
Sorry, I'm going to have to stop you right there because we have to go for a break.
Sure.
And sorry about, we'll continue right when we're back.
I can feel your eyes, like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old morning.
So we were discussing once the Imam arrives, you know, we were saying that there will be oppression, maybe there may be distortion, but because there will be a just government, they will be there to prevent it from maybe increasing, yeah, and they'll be able to control it and contain it. Is that correct?
Very true.
You were going to make another point, I believe.
Yeah, I want to even give you another surprising point that we are waiting for Imam to come and make the religion of God into only one, that is Al-Islam. Based on some narrations, we find even like the city-state model that the Holy Prophet introduced to the world, and this was a just model, that he himself was the head of that government.
Right.
We see that there were some Jews living there, there were some Christians living at his state, right? Even there is a possibility of, based on some narrations, the possibility of some Jews and Christians living at the time of Imam, but they're benefiting and favoring and enjoying from a just government.
That makes
because
sense.
Islam is not going to impose Islam into their minds and to change their own beliefs. They have, as I told you, they have this opportunity. Everything is ready for them to come and accept and agree.
You know, I always thought that we have so many different religions that to me, it didn't make logical sense that everyone would, like, for example, become Muslim.
Overnight.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that would be the case, that the Imam would possibly have peace treaties with other... Why would he fight with people, for example, right?
Yeah.
But I would only assume that he would... I don't want to go into another topic, but, you know, he would just fight people in defensive form, just like the Prophet did.
Very true.
Right? Otherwise, he would
be... So imagine the same way that the people refer to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam or other imams from different religions. They came to him. But Imam respected all those people because all belong to the realm of rulership of these imams.
Yeah, right?
But if these words are good to be used, because, imams are not taking these terms or these concepts in a materialistic way. When I'm talking about realms or, let's say, rulership, it does not mean materialistically speaking. But I mean, because they are all belonging to the creatures of God and they are the representative of God and this, you know, the caliphs of God.
I want to challenge you now. Sure. Okay? You brought up Prophet Sulaiman, right?
Yeah.
In Prophet Sulaiman's story, there is a very famous where he sends a letter to the queen of, I believe, what was the name of the town? Is it Sheba?
Bilqis.
Bilqis, right? And in that, he almost forces her to, he says, you know, if you don't come towards me, I'm going to come and crush you guys, right? Or is my understanding incorrect of that? I mean, I guess I'm trying to ask you is that you're saying that the Imam would allow other religions or other people to exist. Mm-hmm. Whereas we've seen Prophet Sulaiman's story, I believe he didn't force them, but he definitely... Well, how would you explain that, I guess?
Look, he did not force them to change their beliefs, to change their methods of acting with people, right? But it doesn't have anything to do with their beliefs to change it. Then when he found that Sulaiman was that kind and merciful, they themselves, voluntarily changed their own beliefs.
So the stories now are consistent.
Yeah.
Yes,
but I think it has to be a little bit with care because it is Quran. We need to be careful.
Yeah. We don't want to go off completely off the topic. Yeah. What would you say is something that we can relate to right now? In terms of what we're talking about, I think there's things that we can relate to in our lives right now, right? In terms of distortions that are happening in religion right now, and oppression that is happening right now. Do you see those examples around you in current times that we can relate to?
Look, there are many examples of oppression and distortions happening in our time here and even in the past. And even they might happen at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, even at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. But the difference is, as I was explaining, if even today in this Islamic government that we are living in, if you refer to a court, but you see at the end of the day the vote that has been issued and decreed is against what you think and what you imagine. And even you might find it even anti-religious basis from your own perspective, right?
Right.
But from the Islamic judge who is sitting there, and judging that, he believes that no, he issued and decreed an Islamic rule for you or Islamic decree for you. But this deficiency would not exist at the time of Imam Ali.
I see.
Everywhere
I see.
You find justice. Yes, you find a distortion, you refer to, and you make a complaint against them, and you refer them to, for example, a court case. But the result would be beautiful. The result would be sweet for the people to find that they're sensing this beauty.
The system works.
The system works.
Yeah. So we'll have to go for a break and we'll come back for the discussion right afterwards. Okay, so right before the break, we were saying, you know, the system, the justice system will work, and that will be the beautiful side of the imam system. And that will prevent a lot of the oppression and distortion from expanding, from corrupting the society, for example. You know, I was just thinking that we become so accustomed to corruption that it sounds almost unbelievable, you know, that something like that can even happen. But even when it happens today, though, we find that people are attracted to it, right? When we hear a case where justice took place, we do feel happy towards it, and we're excited about that. And one thing, for example, that we used to hear when I was younger, you know, where I grew up, is that we used to hear, you know, that the Western societies are, for example, very just, you know, that they give justice. And that was a means of attracting people to those societies, right? True. You're saying that in the future, the imam will be that attraction. He will be, it won't be that fake justice that the West is offering. It will be real justice that that he'll be offering us. Are there any other points, any other things that you would like to tell us that you think we should know about, you know, during those times before we finish this discussion?
Actually, one of the names of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is Adl, that is justice.
Right.
That is, we even in the supplications, we recite As-salamu ala al-adl al-muntazir. That is awaiting justice to come. So actually, he's going to complete the mission that has started from Adam alayhi salam, from the beginning of the creation. So whatever was missing in the missions of the prophets, or there were some obstacles on the implementation of it for the people, because human being is in thirst of justice rather than anything else.
Right.
Even more than he's in thirst of water and food and in actually in need of these things, is in thirst of justice. So Imam comes for that very important cause to happen. So when people see the change, they will get happy. They will get satisfied with what has been introduced and presented to them.
Definitely. I think I agree with you that today we are suffering because in all of the systems that we see, there are problems, there are faults, there are mistakes, there's corruption. And we all pray for the reappearance of the imam to remove this suffering.
And this is the reason that we have actually, prioritized other systems over the systems of imamate in the course of history. We chose another way to go. And we ourselves deprived ourselves from his presence. If we get ready, he will come.
Yes.
And he is more interested for us to come rather than us to him.
Yes. So the way is for us to also implement
very
justice
true.
In our lives. Thank you so much. Welcome. Inshallah, until our next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is the shining?
In the limelight.
Anti-Israeli sentiments are under rise in the United States as many keep calling on President Joe Biden to stop supporting the Israeli regime's one-sided war against Gaza. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. A federal complaint has been filed against US President Joe Biden, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and Pentagon Chief Lloyd Austin for failing to prevent an unfolding genocide in the Gaza Strip and complicity in its development. New York Civil Liberties Group, the Center for Constitutional Rights, filed the lawsuit on Monday, 13th of November, on behalf of Palestinian human rights organizations, Palestinians in Gaza, and U.S. citizens with relatives in the besieged enclave, who have faced nearly 40 days of unrelenting bombardments by the Israeli military, which has been militarily and financially backed by the United States. The lawsuit reads, "Under international law, the United States has a duty to take all measures available to it to prevent genocide. Yet defendants have repeatedly refused to use their obvious and considerable influence to set conditions or place limits on Israel's massive bombing campaign and total siege of Gaza." It slammed the Biden administration for opposing a life-saving ceasefire and lifting of the siege, and even vetoing United Nations measures calling for a ceasefire. The complaint said the United States, being Israel's closest ally, strongest supporter and biggest provider of military assistance, could have a deterrent effect on Israeli officials now pursuing genocidal acts against the Palestinian people. It added, "Instead, their actions to fund, arm and endorse Israel's mass and devastating bombing campaign and total siege of the Palestinians in Gaza constitutes a failure to prevent an unfolding genocide and complicity in its development." It also criticized the United States for repeatedly affirming support for the Zionist regime, even after it was widely reported that Israeli Minister for War Yoav Gallant called Palestinians in Gaza human animals. The Center for Constitutional Rights wrote in its legal complaint, "Numerous Israeli cabinet members have expressed clear genocidal intentions and deployed dehumanizing characterizations of Palestinians, including the term human animals." It noted that those statements of intent, when combined with the mass killing of Palestinians, reveal evidence of an unfolding crime of genocide. President Biden, backed by nearly every congressional Republican and most Democrats, is preparing to send $14 billion in military aid to occupied Palestine. The lawsuit also calls for an end to the annual military support the United States provides to the Israeli regime. The website Politico has also covered the same story and tells us more. U.S. State Department diplomats have sharply criticized President Joe Biden for spearheading misinformation about Israel's bombardment of the Gaza Strip. The diplomats compiled a scathing internal memo that casts light on the growing fury within the administration over President Biden's support for the Israeli regime. The five-page text says, "Despite the fact that Israel is committing war crimes in Gaza, the Biden administration has doubled down on our unwavering military assistance to Israel without clear or actionable red lines." The document, signed by 100 State Department and U.S. Agency for International Development employees, has two key requests. President Biden should support a ceasefire in Gaza and publicly denounce the Israeli regime's brutal war against the enclave. The authors of the memo, two diplomats who have worked in West Asia, said, "strongly recommend that the U.S. government must push for the release of Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails," citing thousands of them being held in Zionist regime prisons without charge. The document says, we must publicly criticize Israel's violations of international norms, such as failure to stop offensive operations to the civilians and medical targets in Gaza. It said Israel has proceeded to cut off electricity and aid to Gaza, which all constitute war crimes and or crimes against humanity under international law. The document adds, yet we have failed to reassess our posture towards Israel. The Israeli regime waged its war on Gaza on 7th of October after the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas carried out a surprise operation, the Al-Aqsa Storm, into the occupied territories in response to the Tel Aviv regime's intensified crimes against Palestinians. More than 5 weeks into Israel's war, President Biden, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and others have ruled out demanding a halt to the relentless air and ground offensive in one of the most densely populated places in the world. The memo said the U.S. tolerance for such a high civilian death toll engenders doubt in the rules-based international order that we have long championed. It also criticized President Biden for questioning of the martyrdom toll in Gaza, referring to this late October statement where President Biden said he had no confidence in the figures provided by the health ministry in Gaza. The Sputnik news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. Russian intelligence authorities say the United States is pressing the Israeli regime behind closed doors to speed up the operations in Gaza in order to avoid the impact of a prolongation of the conflict on President Joe Biden's 2024 re-election campaign. Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service, the SVR, said in a Monday, 13th of November statement that U.S. government officials have been encouraging the Israeli regime to speed up its military operation in Gaza, as they fear a delay may negatively impact President Biden's position in the run-up to the U.S. presidential election in November of next year. The Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service, the SVR, statement said the U.S. efforts to convince the Israeli regime to end the war in Gaza are in contrast to Washington's open declaration of support for Israel's more than month-long military action that has left tens of thousands of Palestinians martyred and injured. The statement added, the Israelis are being encouraged to speed up the operation in order to prevent it from being delayed, as this would negatively impact President Biden's re-election campaign. Meanwhile, Israeli Foreign Minister Eli Cohen said on Monday, 13th of November, that the Israeli regime has a window of 2 to 3 weeks to finish its onslaught on Gaza, as he warned that rising international pressure may outweigh the support provided by the United States and allies for the Israeli regime's military aggression in recent weeks. The Israeli regime Foreign Minister Eli Cohen claimed in a press briefing, politically, we're noticing pressure building on Israel. The pressure is not very high yet, but it is increasing all the time. He added, the diplomatic clock was ticking for Israel to end the war in Gaza. Anti-Israel sentiments are on the rise in the United States, as many keep calling on President Biden to stop supporting the Israeli regime's one-sided war in Gaza. Thousands of people have taken to the streets in Austin, Texas, calling on President Joe Biden to stop supporting Israel's genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. An estimated 10,000 people gathered in the northern side of Austin on Sunday afternoon, 12th of November, holding banners that read, Save Palestine, ceasefire now. They were also carrying signs calling on President Biden to stop using tax dollars to fund the Tel Aviv regime's genocide in Gaza. A resident of Austin, Texas, who attended the rally said, our tax dollars should stay here for the prosperity of our own children, not for the death and destruction of impoverished children halfway around the world. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The issue of Palestine is the first issue of the world of Islam by Ayatollah Khamenei. The issue of Palestine is the world of Islam's top priority, November 23rd, 2017. Today, the issue of Palestine is the first issue of the world of Islam. Anyone who has a correct understanding of the issue of Palestine acknowledges that the issue of Palestine is the first issue of the world of Islam. The key to defeating the enemies of Islam is the issue of Palestine. The most important issue of the world of Islam in the present time is the issue of Palestine. Why is that? This is because Palestine is an Islamic country. They have come and occupied this country. They have taken it away from its people. The issue is not about usurping a village or a city. The enemy has usurped a country, and it has used it as a base for jeopardizing the security of regional countries. One should fight against a cancerous tumor. Notice that if a person issues a fatwa as a religious mufti saying that the fighting against Zionism is haram, that helping such and such a group which is fighting against Zionism is not allowed, this is really a disaster to witness that some people in the world of Islam are acting against the interest of Islam and have friendly relations with the enemies. This is the exact opposite of the Quran's clear words. Those who are with him are strong against unbelievers, but compassionate among each other. The Holy Quran, chapter 48, verse 29. However, those people are strong against Muslims, but compassionate among unbelievers. They are on good terms with them, but notice what they are doing to Muslims.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Forgetting the issue of Palestine is the enemy's goal. December 17, 2016. If Muslims are united, Palestine will not be in the situation that it is in now. Today, Palestine is in a difficult situation. Gaza and the West Bank are in a difficult situation, both in different ways. Today, the people of Palestine are under serious pressures on a daily basis. They want to erase the issue of Palestine from the minds of people and co-sign it to oblivion. They want to, as they say, busy the West Asian region, including our own countries. This is an extraordinarily sensitive and strategic region. It is a sensitive region in terms of geography, natural resources, and sea passageways with themselves. They want Muslims to stand up against Muslims and Arabs against Arabs. They want them to target and destroy one another so that the armies of Muslim countries, particularly those armies that are neighboring the Zionists, weaken on a daily basis. This is their goal.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
In Gaza, the situation is getting worse, no longer by the day, but by the hour. Incessant Israeli bombardments and its refusal to lift a crippling blockade on the enclave has led to a humanitarian disaster, as described by the ICRC. More than half of the hospitals in Gaza have closed down. The situation is described as intolerable by Iranians who have supported the Palestinian resistance from day one. On the streets of Tehran, people are calling this an unbearable human tragedy unfolding before their very eyes.
We have them in any way, shape, or form that we can. The entire world is watching silently, and even Western countries, and the U.S. in particular, are blatantly supporting the Zionists as they commit these atrocities. The Palestinians are our Muslim brothers and sisters, and we have to do everything we can do to help them.
The most barbaric scenes that one could imagine are coming out of Gaza. I couldn't sleep the night as I saw images of a hospital in Gaza where a young child pulled from under the rubble was all alone crying. He was probably the only one left from his family, just like many other kids there. How can the world do nothing? All countries should call for an immediate ceasefire.
I can't believe that in year 2023 we are witnessing such atrocities. It is completely unbelievable. No one is trying to stop the Zionists. Why? Just because Palestinians don't have blonde hair and blue eyes? Just because they are Muslims? They deserve to be treated this way. We saw how all these countries who are now supporting Israel were vocal when it was all about Ukraine.
Currently, over 9 million Iranians have signed up to go to Gaza to help Palestinians in their fight for freedom.
Does international law mean anything at all, or it is just for some countries to benefit from? History will judge them. Such atrocities are completely unprecedented. I never thought that I would be seeing such images. How can they call themselves humans? How can the rest of the world just sit and watch and do nothing? Everyone should demand an immediate ceasefire and humanitarian help for Palestinians. I would go to help them if I could.
When I see these images, I feel nauseous. All these young, innocent children. Why do they have to suffer? They haven't done anything wrong. They need humanitarian help immediately.
Children, hospitals, schools, according to international law, they should not be attacked. But we see now how they are bombarded every day. There should be an immediate ceasefire. Israelis have absolutely no shame. They call themselves human. Them and all those who support these atrocities. The U.S. The international community now knows the truth about them. Them and their so-called human rights.
Israel waged a war on Gaza on October 7th. At least 11,000 Palestinians have been killed in the strikes, most of them women and children, while 27,000 others have been injured. Tel Aviv has also imposed a complete siege on Gaza, cutting off fuel, electricity, food and water to more than 2 million Palestinians living there.
Iranians are appalled by the images coming out of the Gaza Strip showing the atrocities of the Zionist regime. They are also shocked that Western countries led by the United States are supporting the Israeli regime. Iranians are calling for an immediate ceasefire and immediate humanitarian help for the people in Gaza. Yusumi Shahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.
The first international congress in tribute to the father of Iran's missile program, Hassan Tehrani Muqaddam, was held in the Iranian capital, Tehran. The event also marked his 12th martyrdom anniversary.